Good morning, Trinity Covenant. And I serve as one of the pastors at High Rock Covenant Church in Arlington. I'm so glad I get the opportunity to share from God's Word with you today. I've been at High Rock for over 17 years, and over all of those years, we've seen a lot of growth and change, and if there's one thing for sure, in every season, we have always found God to be faithful, yet never. God never changes, but He is also always on the move. And I'm excited about the way our communities are being invited to follow God together in this new season, as God does this new thing in Lexington. And this sermon is the second in a three-part miniseries about something core to our DNA as a church. We call them the three P's, or sometimes you'll hear them being called the three connectings. It's been our understanding that in order to experience transformation and fullness of life in Christ, it requires that we engage in a balanced and well-rounded spirituality. This involves connecting to God personally, connecting to God's people, and connecting to God's purposes. And last week, Pastor Dave shared about connecting with God's purposes, and today I'd like to go back to the beginning and focus our attention on the first connecting, connecting to God personally. Many of us long for a deep connection with God. We want to feel and experience God as real and relevant to our lives. But if we're being honest, many of us might more often feel distant and disconnected from God instead. Maybe you feel spiritually dry. Maybe doing devotions and coming to church feels like a chore. Or singing worship songs just doesn't feel the way it did many years ago. Maybe you feel tired and burnt out from doing too much. Or maybe you feel trapped in shame and guilt. Or maybe you've never had a deep experience or encounter with Jesus before, and you're wondering if God will ever feel real to you. Wherever you're coming from today, I'm hoping I can dispel some of the lies that keep us from feeling connected with God. And most of all, I want to share the good news that connecting with God might not be as hard as we think it is. As Christians, it can be confusing and exhausting to keep track of all the things we're supposed to be doing and thinking about. We're supposed to pray and read our Bibles and join a small group or serve in a ministry and come to church and care about the poor and tithe and evangelize and support missions and don't forget about justice and mercy and creation care and worship and discipleship and fellowship and all the ships. Don't get me started about all the stuff about theology and church history we're expected to know and all about our denomination. All these things are supposed to somehow make us feel connected to God. But instead, they can feel overwhelming. Like no matter what we do and how hard we try, we're always missing the mark somehow. And if you can relate to that feeling, then maybe you can relate to some of what the Colossian Christians were feeling at the time when the Apostle Paul wrote his letter to them. You see, in Colossians, Paul is writing to a young, vulnerable church, and they were being infiltrated by these false teachers who were creating confusion and leading the young believers to doubt their faith. And one of the marks of these false teachings was that in order to connect with God, you have to follow a complex system of religious rules and do's and don'ts. Isn't that what Christians are kind of known for? Rules. I grew up in a conservative Korean church, and one thing my church took very seriously was a sense of reverence for God. The grown-ups would never just casually walk into the sanctuary. As soon as they crossed the threshold, it's like they hit some invisible barrier. Their voices would hush, and they would somehow go into slow motion. Once inside, everyone followed the same ritual. They would sit and pray silently before doing anything else. Obviously, children were never allowed to run around in the sanctuary. We still did anyway, but we would just get in trouble for it. Our church had a typical sanctuary with pews and a huge wooden cross hanging at the front with a thick, heavy velvet curtain behind it as a backdrop. And at the front, there was a raised platform where the altar and pulpit stood. And any time a pastor or anyone else approached, they would take off their shoes before stepping onto the platform. That platform was holy ground. No shoes allowed, and definitely no kids allowed, unless we had a reason to be there. I spent a lot of Sunday afternoons waiting around after church because my parents were super involved in everything, which was fine by me because church happened to be an awesome place to play hide and go seek with all the other kids. Once I was looking for a hiding spot when I had a brilliant idea. You know that big heavy curtain that hung behind the cross at the front of the sanctuary, you know, the one that's up on the holy platform where no shoes and no kids were allowed? I thought, yes, perfect. I snuck up on the platform and I crawled under that heavy velvet curtain behind the cross and I stood there behind the curtain and I thought, nobody will ever find me here. Apparently, I was wrong. Somebody did find me. And it was one of the elders of the church, and needless to say, I was in a heap of trouble. It was as if I had just defiled the Holy of Holies. Sadly, this was a formative spiritual experience for me. I learned from a young age that God gets very upset and angry when we break his rules. I learned that fear, shame, and guilt are powerful deterrents. I learned that in order to please God, I'd better behave and do as I was told. And these lessons were probably pretty similar to the ones the Colossians were getting from these false teachers. They might have had elaborate explanations for why you couldn't do such and such on the Sabbath and why you had to observe this religious festival in this certain way or why it was okay to eat this kind of bread but not that kind of meat. These teachers turned the joy-filled life of knowing Jesus into just another stale, empty, and oppressive religion. No different from all the other controlling and manipulative religions that were common at the time. And these false teachers were promising the way to connect with God, but instead, they were just putting up more barriers. And so how does Paul respond? Well, he goes right after them. He goes straight for these false teachers, and he says to the Colossians, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." Why does he say this? How can he say this? On what grounds? Well, in the next verse, he explains. He gives his rationale. And what he says is earth-shattering. He says, "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness." Now, there's a lot to unpack in these few words. When Paul uses the word fullness, he means everything included, the whole package. And just so there's no confusion, he says redundantly, in Christ, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. It's like saying, "I want a burger with everything." No, I want all of everything, which just means everything, right? What Paul is saying here, and in the book of Colossians as a whole, is that everything God is, his wisdom, his character, his attributes, his power, his essence, everything there is to know about him and everything he does is all contained in the person of Jesus. He then goes on to say something even more mind-blowing. He says, "In Christ, you have been brought to fullness." Or translated more literally, "In Christ, you are complete." In other words, in him, you lack nothing. There's nothing to add on and no bonus points to earn. There are no advanced degrees or secret hacks to the Christian life. In Christ is the fullness, the everything of God. And in him, we already have everything. Here's the good news and the secret to the Christian life, which is no secret at all. I can't connect you with God because in Christ, you are already connected to him in fullness, in completion. Many of us will have a hard time absorbing this, so I'll say it again. You are already connected to God. The Bible tells us we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. I don't know how much more connected we can get than that. And Paul writes in Romans, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the problem isn't that we're not connected to God. The problem is that we so often forget that we already are. How would your life be different if you truly believed this? Therefore, Paul says, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that are to come. The reality, however, is found where else but in Christ. Notice Paul doesn't say that these things are horrible and should be outright rejected. He only says these are a shadow of the things to come. The reality is found in Christ, in the person of Jesus. And what does he mean by this? A shadow points to whatever it is that's casting the shadow. It might reveal its shape or form, but it's not the real thing. And so Paul is saying, religious traditions, rules, and they're all just shadows. Christ is the reality that they point to. So don't let anyone judge you by these things. They're just containers. Christ is the content. These are just forms. Christ is the substance. He is the fullness of God. Paul isn't saying the forms are bad necessarily. He's saying they're just not Jesus. In fact, the forms are necessary. It would be impossible for me to show you a bucket of water without a bucket, without some kind of container. Likewise, traditions and rules and rituals are like containers that hold our encounters with Jesus. We can find Jesus in them, but let's not confuse the containers for Christ himself. The cosmic Jesus that Paul describes in Colossians cannot be contained. He is beyond our comprehension. And so we, finite humans, need buckets. We need containers and forms. We just have to remember not to focus so much on the bucket that we miss the living water inside. So things like worship and liturgy and hymns and praise songs can be our way of connecting with God, but they are not God. In many martial arts, one of the first things you learn are called forms. And forms are basically rehearsed movements that connect different skills together into a set sequence. And some of them are quite elaborate and impressive, and they take years to master. But here's the thing. They are useless in an actual combat situation. If you make your training all about how well you do your forms, you would be missing the point, which is to actually learn how to defend yourself. And likewise, things like spiritual disciplines and observing religious traditions and holidays are just forms. Many of them are good and necessary and helpful. But if you're just going through the motions or doing things out of obligation, or if you're making your spiritual life all about perfecting the forms, These things might make you feel pious and devout, but you might be missing the point, which is to love and encounter Jesus personally. Imagine if I bought my wife a beautiful bouquet of flowers for Valentine's Day, and you know, she's really touched. It's like, oh, you didn't have to. And I said, yeah, well, I actually did, because you know, it's tradition. I would be missing the entire point. Rather than my gift being a container for love, it would be an empty gesture. And I wonder if some of us approach our spiritual lives the same way. Instead of a want to do, it is a have to do. We are primarily motivated by obligation or self-interest or simply habit. No wonder we feel spiritually dry and disconnected from God. And so what does all this mean for us? Well, first, it means we can connect with God through Jesus personally. If you felt disconnected from God or burdened by guilt or shame, listen to these words that Paul says. He says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. In other words, in the same way you receive Christ as Lord, which means through no work or merit of your own, but by faith and trust in Him, continue to live your lives in Him. Be rooted and built up in Him. He's saying, stick to the basics. Maturity comes through strengthening that foundation of our faith in Jesus, not moving beyond it. The person of Jesus is the source, the center, the substance. He is the very fullness of God. And that's what we mean when we say we want to connect to God personally. Second, it means there is no one exclusive or right way to connect with God personally. We don't have to be overly concerned about protecting our containers or obsessing about being right all the time. And we don't have to be over serious or easily offended. We can appreciate all of these containers for what they are, but not make such a big deal about them either. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The perfect church service would be the one we were almost unaware of. Our attention would have been on God. But every novelty prevents this. It fixes our attention on the service itself, and thinking about worship is a different thing than worshiping. 'Tis mad idolatry that makes the service greater than the God." And so many of us are all guilty of this, whether it be in a traditional setting or a contemporary setting or whatever. Often, the greatest obstacle to an encounter with God is the last one we had. Perhaps we had an encounter with God once in a particular prayer meeting. It is our natural tendency to want to go back for more. We try to search for or recreate the conditions of that experience, and we make our spirituality about that container, that prayer meeting format, and not about the God who met us in it. Sometimes we might even take it a step further and impose that format onto others. We judge those who don't experience it the same way we do. Before we know it, we've limited God to our little bucket. We become like the false teachers in Colossians saying, no, you've got that wrong. You're supposed to worship this way or pray that way, or God can only be experienced in this bucket, but not that one. We can remind ourselves that in worship, it's not about the singing or the liturgy or the environment. It is about Jesus. So we can relax our expectations and our need for things to be a certain way. If we find that we can only worship God when the music is good or a certain style or when we sing the songs we like or when the lights are dimmed just right or when we're worshiping through our particular tradition, then it's possible that we've made an idol out of our own worship. We're worshiping worship instead of worshiping Jesus personally. Third, it means we can connect with God personally in everything. If you have felt dry and distant from God or have a hard time connecting with God in general, here is some good news. Christ reigns over all. He encompasses all and he is in all. The Bible tells us the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It means everything. All that's been created, literally all of life, can be a sacred pathway to God. From the highest of heights to the lowest of lows, every moment, every event, every experience is an opportunity to connect with the God who is ever present and ever available to us. Paul doesn't say, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, go to church on Sundays and ignore him the rest of the week. No, he says, continue to live your lives in him. It means we can connect with God anywhere, anytime, throughout the entire scope of our human experience because it's all his. It all belongs to him. So Jesus doesn't just show up in Bible studies and worship services. He shows up in all kinds of ways. And of course, he also shows up in Bible studies and worship services. The point is, we can hold all these things with gratitude as gifts from a generous God. Jesus is surely here. And gathering with other believers is one of the best ways we can see God. But he is also in your work, in relaxing and enjoying friends, in a quiet cup of coffee in the morning before you start your day. Now, this doesn't mean all containers are created equal. Clearly, there are some containers that have stood the test of time and point us to God better than others. Sure, I can reflect on God when I sleep in and go watch a movie by myself instead of coming to church on a Sunday morning, but I'm probably not going to grow and be challenged very much. There's a story of a rabbi whose child used to wander off to spend time alone in the forest. Maybe he was playing hide and seek. Concerned and curious, the rabbi pulled his boy aside one day to ask him what he was doing, where he was going. And the boy said, I go to the forest to find God. And his father replied, that's wonderful. But you don't need to go to the forest to find God. Don't you know that God is the same everywhere? God is, the boy answered, but I'm not. Where, when, and how are you not the same with God? It doesn't matter how strong I think my relationship with my wife is. If I don't make space or a container for us to be together and connect, our marriage will not last. I mean, I might say, psh, we're already married and we see each other every day. Why do I need to spend more time with her? Because I need to find time and space with her where I'm not the same. When I'm actually present and paying attention to her. Relationships need a container. That's why my wife and I go on dates, so we can be present and give each other our full attention. And that's the whole point of doing devotions and coming to worship and all the other things Christians do, to give God our attention. To spend time with him when we're not the same distracted and preoccupied people we usually are. If you don't have any containers for God in your life, how are you supposed to live the rest of your life in him? Perhaps one of the reasons you might feel spiritually dry or disconnected is that you have neglected the forms. Some like to say, I'm spiritual but not religious. What they mean is they want God, but not any of the forms or traditions. You know, I find God in sunsets and the cry of a newborn baby. That's beautiful, but may I suggest we might need more than that. God is everywhere and in everything, but each of us are wired in unique ways that make us more receptive to Him. Gary Thomas, in his book, Sacred Pathways, identifies 9 spiritual pathways through which different people experience God, and there are probably many more. Most of us will gravitate toward 2 or 3 of these pathways as our primary means of encountering God. For some, it's being in creation, and for others, it's through serving others, or singing, or listening to a good sermon. We can certainly find God in the rich treasury of spiritual practices and patterns that believers have used throughout the millennia. And we can find God on our commute to work, or through art, or even good food. The good news is that we can find Jesus in all of it. For many years, I felt a lot of guilt and shame about the ways I felt like I couldn't connect to God through prayer. Until I discovered that the problem wasn't prayer, the problem was simply that my definition of prayer was just too narrow. Later in life, I discovered the written prayers of the liturgical traditions. I discovered silence and solitude in the contemplative traditions. Whether it's in a worship culture or tradition I'm unfamiliar with, or a liturgy I've done countless times, there is nowhere I can go where I cannot find God already there. In fact, I often see more of God when I'm able to step outside my particular religious container. It's then that I see that God is so much bigger than I ever imagined. How might God be inviting you to connect with Him in a new way today, or perhaps this week? Perhaps there is a spiritual practice you never thought to try, or an old one that you want to revisit with a renewed sense of purpose. When this video ends, I want to encourage you to take a moment to listen to God's personal invitation to you to connect with Him. The good news is that God is everywhere and in everything, so there is no limit to the ways we can connect with God personally. My prayer for us is that in Christ, we may rekindle our love and passion for God, that we might overflow with life and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen.